It's 1 o'clock and this is Observer Radio News. I'm Bradley Featherstone with Billy Curtis, Ryan Jagrew, and Joseph Jacobson. In the weather, it's currently an overcast 21 degrees outside our East York studios. Now here are the headlines. Did Stephen Harper act too soon? The Helena Georgia saga continues. Bosch's future with the Raptors hangs in the balance. And Harry Potter star Daniel Radcliffe is back on Broadway. Now to our top story. Just a few days ago, Stephen Harper referred to the allegations against Helena Georges as serious and credible. Now there are some serious questions about the credibility of the source of that information. Private investigator Derek Snowdy came to the Prime Minister with the allegations last Thursday. A day later, Georges found herself leaving the Conservative caucus. Now many are questioning Harper's quick reaction to the allegations, saying that Georges wasn't given a fair chance to defend herself. The CBC reported last night that it has become clear that Snowdy got his information secondhand, and it has also come forward that Snowdy is $13 million in debt and filed for personal bankruptcy 2 years ago. Snowdy says the attacks on his credibility are irrelevant and that he has nothing to hide. The allegations against Helena Georges involve improper lobbying, illegal offshore accounts, and high-class parties involving hookers and cocaine. A decade ago, the Toronto District School Board had a repair backlog of nearly $450 million. Today, that number is $2.8 billion. Many of the TDSB's buildings are becoming old and run down and are in desperate need of repair. But no one knows where the money is going to come from. The school board might just have found a solution. They are contemplating selling off sections of land, putting the money towards rejuvenating the schools that are also on that site. Some say it's a win-win. The TDSB has land where land is scarce, so developers would surely love the idea. But others aren't so sure. Parents have raised concerns that their child could spend their elementary school years in a construction zone. One of the 13 schools under consideration is Davisville Public School. The school sits only blocks from Yonge and Eglinton Square. Even a small amount of land here would carry a hefty price tag, giving the school board money it desperately needs. A referendum held at the University of Toronto Scarborough to determine the fate of a world-class Pan Am Games facility ends tonight. A number of students are unhappy about funding the facility, and the decision has come to a vote which opened up on Wednesday. As Observer Radio's Billy Curtis reports, the students may be deciding the fate of more than just the games.
Students are arriving in numbers here at the Student Center at UTSC. They have two questions in mind. First, do they deserve a world-class athletic facility? And second, should they be willing to flip the bill for it? Since beating out Markham to host a portion of the games last year, some student groups have rallied against paying for it themselves. According to Student Union Financial Officer Mohsin Gilani, not only do students deserve the facility, but so too does the surrounding community.
It's going to provide opportunities for businesses to grow and people to invest in this area. And I'm hearing rumors about, you know, a hotel company wanting to invest now and making a hotel there. So this causes the trigger.
Gilani said the Pan Am facility would ensure that the TTC's LRT project includes the community surrounding UTSC. This would bring up property value and business opportunities in priority neighborhoods near the school. Still, student groups are lobbying against paying for a facility that won't be completed until after their graduation. Student Union Acting President Amir Bashir said that the price is a small one to pay to leave a legacy improving the school.
It's more student space, it's more club space, it's more food vendors on campus. So it's not just necessarily just an athletic facility. It's bringing transit onto campus, it's bringing more resources onto campus.
If students vote yes, an environmental assessment of the grounds will begin immediately. Billy Curtis, Observer Radio News, Toronto.
Police are looking for suspects after an elevator was set on fire in the east end of Scarborough last night. The elevator was sent to every floor in an apartment building, causing it to fill the hallways with smoke. Fire crews responded to the Lawrence Avenue East high-rise at around 8:30 last night. After putting out the flames, the fire crews set up a ventilation system to push the smoke out of the building. No injuries have been reported. That's all for local news. Billy Curtis is at the International Desk. What's making headlines, Billy?
Thanks, Brad. A dense cloud of volcanic ash continues to wreak havoc on European air travelers today as it drifts further eastward from Iceland. According to European air traffic agency Eurocontrol, half a dozen European nations have closed their airspace. Only about 11,000 flights are expected to operate in Europe today, instead of the usual 28,000. Hot gases have melted ice on the slopes of the volcano, causing large amounts of water and ice chunks the size of houses to fall to the base of the mountain. Over 40 people have been evacuated from the area due to flash flooding. This is the second time the volcano has erupted in less than a month. And Mother Nature hasn't forgotten about North America. A deep freeze in Florida has destroyed 70% of the tomato crops. As a result, tomato prices in Toronto have skyrocketed. As Observer's Bradley Featherstone reports, many local businesses have been forced to cut back on tomatoes or are scrambling to find a new source.
If you went into Guildwood's Valley Mart yesterday, you would find tomatoes from Mexico that cost nearly $7 per kilogram. Go in today and you would find tomatoes that cost nearly half the price. The tomato shortage may actually prove to be good for Canada, said produce worker Patrick Mika.
Crops were ruined in Florida, so we switched to Mexico because they were the only other place available. And now we're back to Canadian, which should be cheaper because it's not as much transportation. And the tomatoes usually come in better. And like I said, it's good for Canada.
Businesses that haven't switched to Canadian tomatoes are still paying the big bucks. Local Subway owner Hamid Ebtekali says he can't afford to give people extra tomatoes anymore because of the price of a box of tomatoes.
Anywhere between 16 to 20 bucks, now it's anywhere between $45 to $50. So it's three times more. And they used to come from Florida, and now there are different sources that are coming. Not only different sources, but different types of tomatoes.
It's not only tomatoes that have been affected by the deep freeze, but then why all the focus on tomatoes and not other vegetables? Ebtekali says it's simple supply and demand that's causing all the fuss.
It's the same idea with green peppers. The only thing is that green peppers less demand outside the sort of food industry. Let's say we're talking grocery stores and all that. You know, people are probably won't even use one green peppers at home, whereas everyone at least uses a few tomatoes at home. Supply and demand is not as strained as it is for the tomatoes.
Florida saw temperatures that reached below 0 degrees Celsius. Weather has turned back to normal, and the Toronto market is expected to do the same by the end of next month. Bradley Featherstone, Observer Radio News, Toronto.
The mother of an 8-year-old boy caught dealing heroin to classmates in a Pennsylvania school has been arrested. 25-year-old Chinita Young said that her boy was simply imitating a lifestyle that he had seen on the streets in his own neighborhood. The boy was attending a school in Wilkinsburg, despite not being a local resident, after his mother lied about their address to get him into the school. According to news in Pittsburgh, the drugs were discovered after a student told her grandfather that the boy had offered him drugs. Police said that the boy had 80 bags of heroin, worth $800 in street value. Police also said that although the bags were empty, no students are believed to have ingested the harmful and addictive drug. A German court has ordered a British bishop to pay a fine of over $13,000 Canadian dollars for denying the Holocaust on television. The court found Bishop Richard Williamson guilty of incitement for denying the execution of Jews in gas chambers during World War II in a 2008 Swedish television interview. According to his lawyer, Williamson has not yet decided if he will appeal the ruling. Denial of the Holocaust has been illegal in Germany since 1985. And in the U.S., a 19-year-old Michigan State University student may face a completely different kind of charge. The student, who has not been named, was caught stealing nearly 80 pairs of women's panties, all of them thongs. Despite his situation, the man denies being strung out and claimed the panty pilfering was just a prank. After the break, Joseph with sports.
I had sweats. I was nauseous. I thought it was some kind of flu bug or something I ate. I'm only 38, play golf whenever I can. I cut down on smoking, and now I'm not that overweight. Anyways, the chest pain, it was like someone was standing on my chest. I could hardly catch my breath, so my neighbor says, I'm calling an ambulance, stupid me. I'm still going, nah, I'll be alright. It's just gas pain. Only now, the pain starts spreading to my shoulders and neck, then my arm. So finally I say, okay, I'm calling the ambulance. I got to the hospital and they stopped the heart attack. I mean, as fast as it started, with this new treatment that dissolves blood clots. Here's the real kicker. The treatment is so new, it's not available everywhere. Guess it was my lucky day.
Welcome back, and hello, sports fans. Will he stay or will he go? Basketball season ended early in Toronto, and Chris Bosh's future with the Raptors is uncertain. The five-time All-Star is entering the final year of his contract. In June, it is expected that Bosh may opt out of his contract and test the free agency market. Bosh doesn't have many reasons to stay in Toronto. The Raptors only made the playoffs twice during his 7 years with the club. If Bosh ever plans to win a championship, it's likely that he will try his luck with a better team. Meanwhile, Raps GM Brian Colangelo has his work cut out for him. Convincing his star player to stay will be... Colangelo has to prove to Bosh and Raptor fans alike that there's still a reason to cheer for the Toronto Raptors. And although the Raptors missed the playoffs, there is still championship basketball in the city. In Toronto, a high-profile boys' basketball championship is underway, and in the TDSB's East Region Tier 1 Championship, there's a key game. Today, the Sir Robert L. Borden Falcons will face off against the Stephen Leacock Lions in their quarterfinal match. And as I reported earlier, both coaches say their teams have what it takes to make it to the finals.
As the quarterfinal match looms, both teams want to overcome last season's disappointments. Leacock coach Fraser McCullough says beating Borden is just the first step to make the provincial tournament, known as OFSA.
We have our goal, and obviously our number one goal is to make OFSA, and that whether or not that's realistic, you know, we don't really care. That's what we want. And, and I'm sure Borden, that's their number one goal. So their thing stand in our way, number one, is to get the cities, but also to move to the next level as far as playoffs go with these regions.
For his part, Borden coach Donovan Smith says his team this year has to regain past school glory.
We're looking forward to try to get to the final. We were there 2 years ago.
Although observers say Borden has bigger and more skilled athletes, Smith says he doesn't underestimate Leacock. They did beat Borden the last time the two teams met.
We look at Leacock and say, how is this game? Bunch of young kids, looking wild, just play basketball. But now we've got a cup better, and we focus on the tournament to hit. That's not what this game is about.
The game will take place today at 3 o'clock at Stephen Leacock Collegiate Institute. Joseph Jacobson, Observer Radio News, Scarborough.
The Toronto Blue Jays will begin a three-game homestand against the Los Angeles Angels tonight. The Jays are riding an impressive 7-3 record into tonight's game, while the Angels are at the other end of the spectrum, currently sitting at 3-7. It will be a right-handed matchup on the mound. The Jays will be starting Sean Markham, who has returned after two injury-plagued seasons. Jared Weaver will pitch for the Angels. Jays third baseman Edwin Encarnacion sat out yesterday's game, and it's unclear when he will return. He is nursing what Jays manager Cito Gaston is calling a sore right arm. The Blue Jays have won 8 of the last 12 season series against the Angels. And now for your Stanley Cup playoffs preview. Tonight, the lone Canadian team on the ice will be the Ottawa Senators. They will be facing off against the Penguins in Pittsburgh. The Sens are looking to extend their record to 2-0 against the defending champions. Puck drop is at 7 p.m. The other Eastern Conference matchup will be the Flyers versus the Devils in New Jersey. The Flyers lead the series 1-0, and their game starts at 7:30. In the West, former Toronto Maple Leaf Lee Stempniak will lead the Phoenix Coyotes into battle against the visiting Detroit Red Wings. So far, the Coyotes are ahead of the Wings 1-0 in the series. The teams will take to the ice at 10 p.m. And that's all from the world of sports. Here's Ryan Jagru with a look at entertainment.
Thanks, Joseph. I've got something for all those Daniel Radcliffe fans. You know, the star from all those Harry Potter movies. He's once again going from the big screen to Broadway. Now, it's not his first encounter with stage shows, but this time it's a musical. Dancing and singing, singing and dancing, cha-cha-cha, cha-cha-cha. Yeah. Back in 2008, he made his stage debut in Equus. He had a leading role then, and he'll have a leading role again. This time around, it's a little different. He'll be starring in a Pulitzer Prize-winning musical. It's called How to Succeed in Business Without Really Trying. I'm not saying Daniel Radcliffe can't do it, but going from Harry Potter to a Tony Award-winning musical, that takes some skill. Cha-cha-cha, cha-cha-cha. It should be great. Now, a well-known radio host, famous for conducting a notorious interview with Billy Bob Thornton, believes Canadian radio is entering a new era. And as The Observer's Christopher Baker reports, the host, writer, and producer believes radio journalism is why.
Gian Gomeshi is the host of CBC's radio show Q. He spoke to journalism students at Ryerson University about the state of the Canadian airwaves. Gomeshi says Canadians will always crave informative discussion and insightful interviews. And he says that as long as the interest grows, radio broadcasters will continue to produce what people want to hear.
The appetite for smart or interesting audio content is still there in a very big way. It's not going anywhere.
Yeah.
So that's what I meant by radio is really powerful and successful right now, because it continues to be.
Gomeshi warns private radio stations that play mostly music will be threatened by internet and satellite radio. He predicts the stations that stimulate the minds of Canadians through journalism will continue to prevail.
I'm not saying that there isn't great stuff on television, or that they can't, you can't achieve depth. I'm just saying that I do think audio, I do think radio
That kind of radio has a future, which is one of the reasons why it's thriving at a time when people are worried about other mediums dying.
Gomeshi says new technology isn't a threat to radio journalism. It's brought new ways to deliver information through internet platforms like podcasting and streaming audio, which he says makes radio more accessible to more Canadians. And that will raise the bar for quality radio journalism in the 21st century. Christopher Baker, Observer Radio News, Toronto.
Thanks, Christopher. High School Musical sweetheart Zac Efron has a job lined up after graduating. No, it's not working at the family business or the local burger joint. He's going to be a drug smuggler in his next movie. It's a remake of the hit Swedish movie Snabba Cash. In the Americanized version, Efron plays a poor student who's also a drug smuggler. He falls in love with an upper-class girl and sets out to do one last job for a cocaine dealer. Oh, and he just won't be starring. He'll be co-producing as well. Warner Brothers plans to start production in the next 2 years. Big budget and all. Now back to Billy for the wrap-up.
Thank you, Ryan. That's the news for now. You can hear more news coming up in about 15 minutes on the internet at ondemand.centennialcollege.ca. On behalf of all of us here at Observer Radio News, I'm Billy Curtis. Thanks for listening, and have a great afternoon.